I'm Craig Kenneth, a relationship coach and a psychotherapist. Every relationship is different and every breakup is different. Work with me and you'll get professional help on your situation. And if you're in no contact, focused on personal growth, my workbook series, The Knowledge, will help you make changes like you've never made before. Available now at AskCraig.net. Hi there, I'm Coach Craig Kenneth.
I'm Coach Margaret.
And I'm Coach Victoria.
And today we're going to be talking about mistakes after a breakup. Breakups are very confusing, and there's a lot of conflicting advice out there. And so you're going to hear a lot of different things from a lot of different coaches and a lot of different people. Ultimately, you have to make a decision on what you think works best for you, but when we share things in these videos, obviously they're not as specific as a coaching. We're talking about what we see in general. And so take the information, think about it, and decide what you want to do with it. Now, you have to understand that we are coming from a place of seeing breakups all day, every day, for years. And so we make suggestions based on what we would do in your situations. Now, when we're doing an email coaching video, we can get more specific. But with a video like this, it's more generalized. But these are going to cover quite a few mistakes that we see happen. And some of it is based on what friends and family say. And some of it is going to be on stuff you see online.
Yeah.
But these are five things that we suggest staying away from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one that I wanted to talk about is contacting your ex's friends and family.
Mm-hmm. And this one is so tempting because you want some way to stay connected with them.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wanting to feel connected to that person, even if it's not through them, just talking to those friends and family, it feels like you're still contacting with them. And it feels good. It relieves anxiety.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you think you can make them allies in getting the person back.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, Margaret? What do you see happen?
Oftentimes the family has a whole other agenda and is not going to befriend you in trying to get this person back, even though they may tell you that they want to.
Yeah, even if they like you, even if they care about you, even if they think you're...
Because oftentimes families have a problem, and this isn't conscious in most families, and some people have difficulty believing it, but many families have raised a person, you know, to adulthood, love them, want them around, and can unconsciously sabotage their attempts to move away with a partner and live happily ever after. Even though on a conscious level they would wish them all the happiness in the world, seeing them leave can be extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So family members can oftentimes sabotage things.
Yeah.
Now, if you reach out to friends and family, either they can convey misinformation, they can say it accidentally wrong or purposely wrong, depending upon their agenda, but it's also gonna piss your ex off.
Oh, God, yes. It feels intrusive. It feels like a boundary has been violated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it tempting? Of course.
Yeah.
And it also puts your friend in a really odd position where now they have to act as a minion of information between the both of you. And that can just be very exhausting for your friend. They might not even be giving you the truth. They might avoid the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it might even compromise your friendships. So if you do have those mutual friends, avoid putting them in that situation and be considerate of their loyalties to both of you. Maybe they still want to have both of you in your in their life. And you should be able to respect that and not use your friendship as leverage to get to your ex.
I'll tell you what I saw recently. I had a guy that was dating a girl, and the girl's family owned a business. So he worked for the business part-time. She obviously worked for the business. It was a family business. And they had a roommate that also worked for the business.
Mm.
But he wasn't sure if this other guy was interested in her. So he's getting information from her, not even knowing if he's got his own agenda to be with her. And yet he's acting like he's on his side, but he doesn't even know what that situation is. And because he was only working part-time at the business now, her and this other guy would work together a lot of times, like 5 nights a week.
Yep.
So they're having all this time together. And yet he's asking this guy, the one that was dumped, well, what do you think is going on? How do you think things are going? Meanwhile, this guy knows more than him. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, my Lord.
And I was like, you got to be really careful here.
That reaches soap opera status.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, there was no real evidence that the guy really was interested in her because she had briefly dated a different guy. But he was concerned that it could be going on. There might be something there that he just doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. But I was like, stop going to him for information, because if he does like her, then he's going to make this worse.
He's going to tell you all kind of crazy stuff.
So you want to be really careful about that. Number two, a mistake after a breakup. Following the 30-day no contact rule.
Meaning contacting them after 30 days?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are people out there that will tell you to stay in no contact for 30 days. They'll say, ignore your ex. If they contact with you within those 30 days.
Ignore your ex.
Yes.
Don't respond at all.
They will say, yep. Anything in that 30-day window, they tell you not to have any contact with them whatsoever. Okay?
Okay.
We disagree with that.
Yes.
First of all, we don't believe in ignoring your ex. We don't think that's going to help the situation. They're making a bid to connect with you. That's what you're going to do to try and repair things. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen if an ex gets ignored?
They're going to give up quick. Mm-hmm.
And it's a form of a rejection to ignore somebody.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's quiet, but it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. So that is a big problem right there. The other thing is that there's no magical 31 days changes the situation.
No.
It just doesn't work like that. It's ridiculous.
I'm thinking about how different each relationship is, the quality of it, the length of it, the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
30 days across the board doesn't seem like a good fit.
Yeah, I think it's a very old school, outdated thinking about breakups that we're trying to get you guys past that mm-hmm. to realize it's not about 30 days. It's about allowing your partner, your ex, to have the time and space to live with the consequence of their decision. If they want to end the relationship with you, then they have to live with that. And if they want to repair it, it's on them to reach out to you to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They made the decision to break up with you. And obviously, that's what we're talking about, not if you broke up with them. But if they did that, you just leave them be. It shows that you respect yourself, that you're not going to chase after somebody that is saying they don't want to be with you. And it shows that you respect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I understand how there could be some comfort in having a concrete day.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, trying to measure people's emotional responses in a set number of days isn't realistic.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll hear 45 days. Yeah. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that's a big mistake after a breakup, is to just do 30 days, okay? Leave your ex alone and let them reach out to you when they're ready, because they will.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's scary.
Yeah.
But they will, right?
You feel like there's nothing you can do. You feel helpless.
Yeah, it's the indefinite that mm-hmm. and that uncertainty tied with it that makes it so difficult.
Okay, the third one. Taking advice from people that don't understand breakups. Now, a lot of times, you're going to talk to your friends and family about the breakup. It's normal. I did it. I'm sure everybody that has ever gone through a breakup talks to friends and family. But they don't understand breakups. Very few people do, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to see you hurt.
Nope.
They're probably angry at your ex for hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably are kind of villainizing them. Right, Margaret?
Yeah, absolutely. And they just want you to be happy again. Your friends and family don't like to see you upset. And they certainly don't like to see you upset after several weeks and so forth and so on. So they will, in all, good faith, move on, move on. You don't need this person. You can do better than that. There'll be lots of other people out there. Move on, move on. And I know the hard part of that is it doesn't acknowledge the fact of your attachment to the person you have broken up with.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's frustrating on our end because a lot of times we do coaching call with people that have gotten coaching from other people.
Yeah.
And the situation is a disaster afterwards.
My mother-in-law, by somebody or other, somebody's mother-in-law told me to contact him and that if I let it go any longer, he would absolutely forget me. I mean, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, absolutely not.
And oftentimes, too, you'll see that those who are giving you advice as far as friends and family, the advice that they might be giving you might be their own unprocessed trauma and the way
yes.
that they would deal with the situation,
yes.
which might not be the healthiest.
Right.
So you could get varying responses from speaking to one friend to another, which can make you even more confused. So that's why therapy is so important. And
yep.
I'll even add to that. Sometimes even therapists aren't really well versed in breakups, couples, relationships, family systems.
No, they're not.
It's really surprising to see what's out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to knock therapists. It's just that they aren't trained in this stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we have been working on this for many, many years, trying to understand this stuff and present information that is going to help you and limit mistakes and keep you out of harm's way of putting yourself in a situation where you're making it worse. Because so often our instinct is to make it worse.
Yes, it is.
And the instincts of other people is to tell you things to make it worse. It's so overwhelming and you're so confused. I remember feeling so confused during my breakups. It's just like, what do I do in this situation? It doesn't make any sense.
And you're also in such a vulnerable position that you just absorb anything that anybody gives you. You're in just such a weak state, and you're open to any type of advice.
Anything that might help,
yeah.
Anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's so true. But you got to do your best to stay centered and not lose emotional self-control, which brings me to the next one, which is really important. Using guilt, manipulation, and threats. And we see this.
Oh, we do indeed.
Let's start with the guilt. A lot of times people will throw things their ex said back at them. You told me you were going to love me forever. You told me you were always going to be there for me. You said this. You said that.
Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I meant it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But things have changed since. But yes, your partner probably swore to it by, what is it, the moon and the stars in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
That they would be there for you forever, but in fact, they've changed their mind. Easy to use to make somebody feel guilty.
And it's not going to bring them back.
No.
Okay? Guilt often kills attraction.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a manipulation.
It is a manipulation, which is what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
Manipulation. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all kinds of forms of manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Let's just stop and define manipulation. Manipulation means you're trying to get somebody to do something that they don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
without being direct that that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't worry about me, you just kill yourself. I'll be fine here all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like I remember years ago learning that whining was a manipulation. And not
oh,
really.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whining is a manipulation. And I didn't realize, oh, wow, that really is a manipulation.
Sure it is. Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
And so there are lots of different ways you might be trying to manipulate your ex to do what you want. And for the way I see it, the grand gesture is a manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's a grand manipulation, as a matter of fact.
It's the fantasy of this grand ideal thing that you pull off and then it makes them come running back to you. Does it work? Probably sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say it doesn't work ever. Because a broken clock is even right twice a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a grand gesture can work sometimes, but most often it makes it worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we see successful grand gestures? Almost never.
Yeah, almost never.
Right.
I mean, it's flattering, I suppose. Look at the trouble this person went to.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it just makes them feel guilty.
Right.
And it could also seem very insincere, especially if it's after a mistake that you made in the relationship, as a way to make amends.
Mm-hmm.
So that can come off as
Yeah.
You know, this purchased item is supposed to make up for the emotional damage that I caused you.
Which I don't really own yet.
Right.
You know, also the handwritten letter. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a manipulation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And I'm sure the original thinking was, for one thing, we don't write letters anymore. We do email. But, I mean, people wrote letters for eons. I remember before email.
You remember before letters.
I remember before letters.
Stone tablets.
Yes. And they were terrible to send in the mail. You couldn't get them in the box. But, like I say, for one thing, it's unnatural now because we don't write letters to each other so much. And I guess it says that you must be very sincere if you're going to the trouble to handwrite this letter. If I handwrote the letter, you wouldn't know what I said.
Yeah.
You know,
one year the three of us should just track data on handwritten letters in our calls.
Yeah.
And just every time somebody mentions it, we should write it down.
We should write it
and
down.
Keep track for a year and see what happens for a solid year. Because I did that one year, and the results were very poor most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, on some level, it's an attempt to try to force a connection or force them to try to understand your feelings. I find that a lot of the times the handwritten letter is more about how you feel and your distress after the breakup than it is trying to understand what their point of view is.
Easing your own anxiety.
Right. Which you can absolutely do the letter, just don't send it.
Yeah, burn it. Yeah. Shred it, flush it.
I'm sure it's a cathartic experience to write out everything you're
and
feeling.
That's a time-honored thing to do, to write a letter, but you don't necessarily have to mail it. Mm-hmm. But it gets your feelings out on the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a manipulation, whether you realize it or not, and it brings an imbalance to your connection.
Yeah.
Right? Where now all of a sudden you're kind of handing them all the power when you're handing them this letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not so much about this connection that you have. It's about, you know, here, please give me another chance. And I understand the feeling and being scared and wanting to do that, but it just makes the situation worse a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. However, if you're in the initial throes of having had a breakup, it sounds better than doing nothing. And oftentimes we say to people, no contact is not doing nothing. It's a strategy. It's not nothing.
Yep.
Okay.
So we see it as a mistake.
Yep.
And sometimes you guys have already done the handwritten letter before you find our channel. It's understandable.
It's okay. Yeah.
But, you know, you have to move forward and leave it be. I mean, some people tell you to do a second and third handwritten letter. It's like, what are you doing? Right? Okay. What about the clean slate message, Margaret? What do you think about the clean slate message?
Oh, that bothers me even more. Okay? The clean slate method is we're going to forget about everything each other did wrong. Or if I'm especially upset with you for specific things you did wrong, I'm going to let you start with a clean slate. That does not encourage you to take responsibility or to own what you did. The clean slate is a really bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
Anything that you're going to be getting rid of in a clean slate really needs to be discussed and dealt with. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bad idea.
It's just a fantasy. It's not real. If you've been in a relationship with somebody for years, it's not like you send this message and it's like Men in Black where they flash the thing in front of you and you forget everything. Oh, I got this message. Oh, let's get back together.
Yeah, right. Let's get back together.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And it's a
cop-out. Ridiculous.
I think Margaret is spot on in saying that it's a way to forego responsibility and owning your own behavior.
Yeah.
Which actually is pretty unattractive if you think about it.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The clean slate means I'm forgetting about the time you knocked over the 7-Eleven, stole the car, you know, and all those other things. So we'll just start again.
Mm-hmm.
No, not a good idea.
It just doesn't work. And another one that I mentioned earlier is threats.
Mm.
That's a big one. A lot of times you guys get so overwhelmed with your emotions that you will threaten to hurt yourself.
Right. If you leave me, I'll hurt myself.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, that is a very difficult position to be in. However, if you are the one to whom that is said, if you leave me, I will hurt myself. That's a really terrible manipulation because the poor person doesn't want that on their conscience. All right. Sometimes people do understand that it's a manipulation, but in fact, the best answer, as I understand it, is I am very sorry that you're that upset. Don't take responsibility for it. I'm very sorry that you're that upset, and I'm sure you can recover from this. And however, if you do make a decision to do that, it's on you. I will accept no responsibility for your decision. Okay?
You know, it's going to scare the other person too.
Oh, terribly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To see you in that state, it's upsetting, and it's going to be hard for them to forget about that.
Yeah. But the first thing is not to be pulled into that. That's an outrageous position to put you in.
Yeah. But I think many of the people watching this would be the ones to do that kind of threat, Margaret.
Oh, sure. And I've often heard, well, I didn't want that on my conscience. Well, it wouldn't be your conscience. Your conscience, you know, not you're not the one who made this unfair threat. You're not the one who put this other person in charge of your life or death. You know, not a fair thing to do to anybody.
Yeah.
And if you are having those thoughts, there are so many resources out there for you to get help. So please, if that thought crosses your mind, contact the suicide hotline. Talk to somebody local in your area, a therapist.
Absolutely.
Get the help that you need. Yeah. Because once you've reached that level, that is when you are going to need external support.
That's right.
You cannot rely on your ex to fix whatever issue is going on for you. They are ultimately not your savior. So.
Yep. And you want to look in your area for whatever support you can get at that
Absolutely.
Point. It feels hopeless a lot of times, but that doesn't mean that things won't get better.
Right? Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we will feel better in time. Right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of life left to live. So do not feel the need to succumb to threats, manipulation, and guilt to try to get this person back.
Yeah.
But some people can be so absolutely panicked. They'll try absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever put up with being the victim of this threat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have one more mistake that I wanted to talk about. And that is reaching out to your ex for closure.
Mm.
I think a lot of people think, well, if I reach out to them, we'll feel better, we'll talk about everything, and then I'll just move on.
And closure is discussed everywhere as something absolutely necessary. And it's a good thing that it isn't, because in so many cases in the whole world, not everything has a component of closure to help you get over it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can have reasonable closure, if you can have a discussion like Victoria just described, great. But are you going to recover without it? Yes.
I think a lot of people really are just wanting to reach out to contact their ex and see if it's going to turn around with this hidden agenda of closure.
Right.
It's not really about closure. It's, oh, I want to talk with them and see how it goes because I haven't heard from them in a while. And so they'll pretend to themselves and maybe even fooling yourselves, oh, I just wanted to talk about closure and get this for closure. And then afterwards, you're probably going to regret it.
Mm-hmm. And or obsess about the events that happened during this closure meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because oftentimes after you get your closure talk, then you think, why did I do that? I didn't really want closure. I wanted another chance to turn this around. And now we've got this big closure talk that we've had about things. And now they're probably going to be less likely to talk to me and reach out.
And I've had people tell me that therapists insisted they go find the person and have closure.
Mm.
Now, I mean, if you get closure, it's very nice and it does help. But if you don't, you don't have to go to crazy lengths to try to get it from somebody who doesn't want to do it with you.
Right.
If you're really considering trying to repair the situation with them and you really want another opportunity with them, why set a roadblock like closure of having this finality discussion, it's over, blah blah blah, we talked about it, best of luck to you? Wouldn't you rather them still be open-ended and open-minded rather than closed and closed-minded, that they're continuing to think about you and that they reach out when they're ready? I would. If I really wanted to repair it with somebody, I wouldn't want closure. I would much rather leave it be and find closure or find some kind of inner peace about it, which I think is the struggle. It's they just don't want to sit with the anxiety and the uncertainty.
And who blames them? It's miserable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the rewards of being able to find that peace without the closure are immense.
Yeah. If you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is it makes your mental health kind of at someone else's whim. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to do closure, I'm stuck here. No, you're not.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of mistakes you can make after a breakup. Some of these you may have heard us discuss before, but it's always good to go back over these things because it's so overwhelming and it's so easy to make mistakes and do things to turn people off. And the last thing we want to see is you guys make the situation worse.
The other thing is, I have heard people given advice of get into a short-term relationship really fast. That'll make you forget.
Yep.
I have heard of therapists who have said that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help you with your separation anxiety and you'll feel better. It's not going to do much for the grief process. It's except not, delay it.
Yes, and it's not really going to keep you motivated on the personal growth.
No.
It's going to keep you regressed and more likely to make mistakes if your ex does come back.
Yeah.
Right.
So think about these things, and of course we will help you personally with your situation. Just sign up for coaching with me or us on the website askcraig.net. I do email coaching and I do Skype. Margaret is available for Skype coaching.
If you think I can be helpful, please sign up.
And now Coach Victoria.
Yes, I look forward to speaking with you.
Just click on Victoria on the top of the website to do that. But that's it for this video. I'm Coach Craig Kenneth.
I'm Coach Margaret.
And I'm Coach Victoria.
And we will talk with you soon. To get my help personally, go to AskCraig.net and click on Schedule Coaching and choose the option that works best for you. I do email coaching or Skype. To schedule a coaching with Margaret, click on Margaret on the top of the page and order a Skype with her. For the Knowledge Creative Healing course, click on the link at the top of the page and click Get Started Now.